It's a word of prayer before we dive in. Let's pray. Lord, we humbly come before you. We sit at your feet now to listen to your word. And I pray you take this servant and take his flesh, take the things, Lord, that he may think, and put it out of the way. And may thy Holy Spirit have preeminence as the word of God is brought forth. And Father, I pray for more of the people to come so they can hear. But yet, Lord, I pray for those who are here, I pray for a soft heart to receive what you have for us, that we might honor you, Lord, even in this. Now, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. May we be a sanctified church. May we strengthen the things which remain. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the Bible passages I'm going to use, you will find that there's a lot of instruction around it, and it bears directly on the whole area of dressing, okay? What we're going to do is actually use a lot of principles so that we can see how it actually bears on modesty itself, all right? I'll give you an example. Many people would actually begin, after we bring up certain things, people will say that, hey, Brother Johnny, that one doesn't talk about dressing, or there's no word specifically related to dressing in the Bible, and so why are we dealing with that? Just like in Singapore, why do we avoid pubs? For example, why do we avoid pubs as Christians? Why don't we? The Bible never talk about pubs, right? The Bible didn't talk about pubs in the Bible. Why do we as Christians avoid pubs? I'm not talking P-U-P, it's P-U-B, okay? Why do we avoid pubs? Why do we avoid pubs? No pubs? Pubs? Yeah? Why do we avoid pubs? Because of? Sorry? Because of the alcohol, okay? But the Bible, a lot of people argue this way, but the Bible never say you cannot go to pubs, you know? I think also by normal Christian sense, we will not want to go there. But you know, as Christians, sometimes we will argue, but the Bible never say that. All right? We need to actually be very clear that God does have principles why we avoid the pubs. Why don't Christians smoke? Do you realize in the 1800s, Christians actually smoke? And the reason is because it was very cold and they smoked cigars in order to keep warm. All right? Until in the 1900s, when they found out actually smoking causes lung cancer and all that, they begin to realize, hey, our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we actually, if it harms our body, we must not actually do that. If you read the autobiography of Spurgeon smoked. All right? Until he was used as a model for people. The advertising company actually used smoke the brand that Spurgeon smokes. When he had that, he said, no, I'm not going to allow my testimony to be used to be for advertisement. Okay, advertisement, that's American. Advertisement, all right? And so there are Bible principles. And so what we're going to do is look at all these principles. And then at the end of it, just draw 10 biblical modesty principles that over the next few weeks as a church, we need to come to a decision as a whole that if we are to be a sanctified assembly for the Lord based on God's principles, our dressing needs to change. Okay? And then we need to be conformed to the image of Christ, even in the area of dressing. All right, those who just came in, you can take one of the notes. Okay, I hope the notes are helping. Please hold it over there. Do you have one? Okay, well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 first. We're just going to be going through the Bible verses and then writing out the principles. We have gone through Genesis chapter 3, but I want to highlight again. All right, it's very important also for children to listen. Okay? So over time, we'll be able to have a conviction. I was toying whether to show you all the photos first and all the principles first. And all the things that are happening in society first, before I go into the Bible first, I realize let's go with God's word first, and then measure society with what God actually has to say, and then you will begin to see. Some people take the other way; they bring sure everything, and then they go back to the scriptures. What I want to do is to make the first impression on our heart and our minds with the Bible first, and then next week I will actually show you some of the things that even in Singaporean society it is happening, okay, all over the place. So that we can have a clear picture of what God says, what's happening in society, and what decision we need to make. Okay, Genesis chapter 3, verses, Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. But let's start there, all right? I know the verse is there. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible says very clearly, the man and the woman, they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed, all right? So there was no sin. There was no, the mind was pure and innocent, all right? Men and ladies were not think evil or think perverted when they see people without clothing. All right, that's before sin. But if you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible then says, "For God does know that in the day thou eatest, in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and to a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave a tree, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The Bible says instantly the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. We saw in a passage last week that, number one, innocence and the purity of the mind. This is very important. Huh? The innocence and the purity of the mind was lost at the fall. Okay? A child like Sarah, a child like Sharon, a child like Raphael, alright, as they grow up, and in a godly Christian family, unfortunately, they will still be exposed to things that the parents say, "Where in the world did you get that from? I didn't teach you that." All right? The influences of this world. They will say things, all right? People as young as, even in kindergartens right now, I know in Perth, Australia, the kindergartens, the preschoolers are taught yoga. They are taught yoga, okay, in their preschools, okay? And we need to be very careful with what the children are exposed to. So, but innocence and purity of mind was lost at the fall. You understand this principle? This is very important, because when a parent or a Sunday school teacher or anyone instructing do not realize that if there are younger people there and we say certain things, their minds may be open to see certain things we're not supposed to see. All right? Does it make sense? Any questions? Okay? So innocence and purity of mind was lost. Both men and women knew they were naked. Both attempted fig leaves to cover themselves. And Adam and Eve wanted to cover their shame from God. Okay? They want to cover their shame from God. Okay? So they know they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves. They wanted to, they were shameful before God. And they want to appear. Think about this. Huh? They do not want to appear in their condition before God. That's why they hide themselves. All right, let's practicalize that. Okay, would we think of a moment? What you wear at home? Would you wear when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to your house? Would you wear what you wear at home when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to your house, or would you wear what you wear at home to wear it in church? If people bear their bodies at home but don't bear it in church, question is why? Because it's element of shame, right? Does it make sense? Okay? So if you bear your body at home, is there no shame? Because the Lord is always there. Does it make sense? Any questions? Any questions? Any questions? Okay, you need to break the application of scripture. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, but Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Okay, I think we all know this. The skins were made from animals who were killed. Okay, and the Bible talks about they were the meaning of coats means to cover them. To clothe them means to cover them. All right, it covers the neck to the below of the knee and above the ankles. That's for specificity. After this, we'll talk about that a bit more again. All right, the coats always cover from the neck all the way down, all the way down. Now, it's very important for us to understand, as much as God wanted to cover the spiritual shame, God originated clothing here to cover the physical shame. The physical shame was covered by clothing from a dead animal and covered all the way from the neck, all the way down. All right? Any questions? This is very, very important, because this is the origin of clothing. It was to cover shame. It was a picture of salvation. All right, and it's actually a first principle for us to actually follow. All right, so the principle we see from here is, I'm just going to say the principle, and then feel free to ask questions if you want. There must be adequate covering for the body. There must be nothing that is revealing of the private parts of the body, because God chose to cover the whole body. There must be no revealing. of any of the private parts of the body. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Because afterwards we're going to practicalize it into actual garment clothing that we have when we talk about the application part. Okay? The question that leads from here is, what about those form-fitting clothing? Those clothing that, you know, fits the form of the lady. Any thoughts on that? I need to be careful about showing pictures and all that kind of thing. So, one of the things that was introduced very much is what we call tight clothing, right? Tight jeans, tight t-shirts, and t-shirts that actually show off the figure of the lady. Okay? There's one principle that I will touch on next week about. I won't have time to touch on this week. But how men and ladies are actually affected by what they see. The devil knows that. Okay? Just as a principle, tight-fitting, form-fitting clothing actually accentuate the body of the female species, leading to lustful thoughts in men. Okay? I may do an experiment next week, right? But children may have to be excused so that the more mature people will understand this spiritual. God has a reason for covering Adam and Eve all the way from the beginning. Okay? And the reason why there's this introduction of this form-fitting clothing is satanic in its origin because it caters to the lustful desires of men. Ladies may not understand this, but I may give you an experiment I was reading through. Is the more I read, the more I realize we are in trouble with God as a nation, as Christians, with the way we dress. Okay, but we need to actually be very careful of this. All right? I can tell you sometimes the people that come to our church, the way they dress is like, I really don't know where to put my eyes as I preach. I can get distracted. Not because I want to. But it's just there. It's just there. All right? So I want us to be careful on that. All right? So the principle is there must be adequate covering for the body. There must be nothing that is revealing of the private areas of the body. That includes see-through dresses, see-through shirts. Okay? That includes a lot of things. After that, I'll talk on that. All right? Any questions for the first principle? So there must be adequate covering. Number two, let's turn to Genesis chapter 9. Next one. I'll just keep going, all right? Because of time. Genesis 9, verse 20-25. Okay, we touched on that last week. Again, drunkenness. Noah began to be a husbandman, planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. I was reading this passage. You realize that it was not so much the drinking that caused the problem with Ham. It was the seeing of the nakedness. Immodesty was exposed at that time, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of the father and told his two brethren, and then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards to cover the nakedness of their father. Okay? And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. Alright? Some fathers say, some fathers may teach the birds and the bees to their younger children by exposing themselves. That's sin. Levitical law actually mentions that sin. A child must not see the nakedness of the father, neither the father see the nakedness of the son. But interestingly, in the Levitical law, when Moses actually gave the law, it was many hundreds of years later, but Ham, Japheth, and Shem actually had a conscience of that already. Does it make sense? And we studied last week, nakedness simply means not complete, but a person actually in his undergarments. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, I'll try and go it slowly, but please ask questions, alright? I know, you know, sometimes when you don't really look at it, you kind of just glance over it, but when you actually look at the scriptures, you feel like God is very serious about this area of modesty. Okay? So there was an issue of nakedness, there was a conscience about it. Shem and Japheth took ridiculous steps to avoid seeing their father's nakedness. And Ham saw and was judged for it. Right, these are the 4 points under that. The principle is we are to take the issue of modesty in dressing seriously because it is a serious issue with the Lord. Ham and the whole nation of Canaan was judged because of what he saw one time. Okay? And you know what? Even up to today, the whole nation is still suffering because of this. The curse is still ongoing because of what Ham saw one time. That's how serious it is with God. All right, any questions? Okay, the next one, let's turn to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28. Exodus 28. I've tried to be, I'm not as exhaustive, there's still some more, but because of time, I'll just highlight the key one next week. I may just touch on some more. In Exodus 28, verse 40 to 43, this is an interesting one because it has to do with the garments of the priests. And we know in the nation of Israel, the priests were the males only. Alright? Were the males only. Okay? Let me just read. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats. What is a coat? Can you remember? What's a coat? Coat. Okay, the coats are long. Right? Are long ones. Okay? And thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make them girdles, belts, and bonnets. Okay? Shall thou make for them for glory and for beauty? So that's actually for decorum. In other words, to decorate them, to make them look majestic. Okay? And thou shalt put upon Aaron thy brother and sons with him, and shall anoint them, consecrate and sanctify them, that they may minister, serve me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches. What are breeches? Breeches are basically this. Okay? In the past, even before breeches was introduced, everyone wear long coats. Coats. All wear coats with a thing tied around. Alright? But because they have to ascend steps in Exodus 20, and God knew that there will be the possibility of as you walk, you know, as you walk on, people can take a peek, you know, if they're not buying the house and pray. So God says, you shall make them linen breeches. What is the purpose of that? What is the purpose of linen breeches? To cover their nakedness. To cover whose nakedness? The men. Okay? From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Now, that's a standard for you from the Bible. From the loins all the way to the thigh. The thigh by definition is the femur bone. You know what's the femur bone? The femur bone is the big bone from here to here. Okay? And that's why you oftentimes hear it has to be below the knee. Alright? That's what God is saying here for the priest during that time. But the more interesting principle is in verse 43. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his son. What's that they there? Anyone? What's that they there? What's that they there? In Exodus 28 verse 4. What's that they? And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his son. What's the they there? Is that someone or something? It is the holy garments. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. Wow. God says you are to wear in the way I designated you, otherwise you are going to bear sin and I will kill you because you were disobedient and you did not follow what I said. If you want to minister to me. Brother Johnny, that's a Jewish law. I mean, the ceremonial priest and all that. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves is this. Are we priests today? Are we priests today? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1, okay? Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Revelation 1 and verse number 5. Okay, let me read that. Maybe let's read together. Verse 5 and verse 6. Ready? 1, 2, go. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Okay, so in verse 5, talking about unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, salvation, right? And what did he do after that? Made us kings and priests. We are supposed to be rulers. And we're supposed to be individual priests before God. Okay? When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil was torn asunder. Every one of us can go directly to God as a priest. We can study the Word of God as the priest of old studies the Word of God. Right? We have that privilege. And you know what? Spiritually speaking, we are priests before God. Okay? So as a Bible principle, the application of this principle is that we are still priests. And when we appear before God, our dressing has to be approved before the Lord. Okay, the principle we glean from here is our dressing, even today, must approve us before the Lord for covering, lest we be found before the Lord to be offensive to Him. Remember, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever, in terms of principle. Okay, any questions? Any questions? Okay, let's move on first. All right, Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. I'm sure you will generate questions as we go along, but no, it's interesting that in other areas, questions won't come up, but in this particular area, it will. But never mind, it's important to have our doubts clarified so that we can know that we are sanctified as a people for God. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto thy Lord thy God. Okay, so what does that mean? What does this verse mean? It simply means man's not supposed to wear what woman wears, and woman's not supposed to wear what man wears. Right? Okay? There are many arguments about this. In fact, why Brother Johnny, this is in the Jewish law. Alright, it's under the Levitical law, it's under Mosaic system, therefore it doesn't apply to us. It's a moral law. God says it's abomination. Let's start from first principle. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Let's turn there. Genesis 1, verse 27. Genesis 1, verse 27. Do you realize that every law that God made is a reinforcement of what first principles He has already set in place? When because man was so bent of breaking God's law, God had to make it mandatory. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. What did God say? Male and female created He them. Alright? So first principle is, when God created man, He created a male and female. Okay? Now, in Genesis 19, it was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the reason why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? It was because of homosexuality, sodomy, okay? God judged the entire nation because men begin to burn in their lusts towards one another. By the way, it's not a modern-day situation. This has always been around since the beginning of time. Can you imagine? Since that time until now. During that time, they were a little bit, I cannot say less sinful, or it's just as sinful. In fact, I think some of them, remember when Lot wanted to give his daughters to them? What did they say? Not interested. It's like, not interested. We want the guys. Perversion, that God actually had to kill them in the end. God destroyed the entire nation. You know this thing about cross-dressing, this thing about unisex movement, which we'll touch next week. You will find that there's a lot of implication, especially in Christian churches today, that we actually break God's intention from the beginning to differentiate male and female. Okay? The principle is that God intended in the scriptures the clear separation of gender. And He did it in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, by their clothing they wear. During that time, it was very clear the only article of clothing that the ladies did not wear, besides the coat, the tunic, is the breeches, which is the pants. Okay? We'll talk about pants as a whole issue next week, all right? But I just want to highlight God's intention from the beginning. Breeches for the men, robes for the ladies during that time. All right. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 7, the next passage of Scripture. Proverbs 7, verse 10 to 12. Okay, the Bible says, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner." Okay, what does this passage, what bearing does this have on the whole area of modesty? The Bible says that this woman had the attire of a harlot. What does that tell you? In modern day terms, this lady is dressed up with the dressing of a harlot. Okay, I won't use that word because too, harlot is a little bit more lofty for the younger ones. All right, I won't use the word. a few principles. Number one, the attire that you have actually sends a message. The attire that we wear sends a message. So the Bible teaches it's the attire of a harlot. Even some Catholic churches today have to mandatorily say no spaghetti strap. Do you realize that in the Bible it's an attire of a harlot? Think about that for a while. Okay, after we talk about the more, over the next 2 weeks, we'll talk about one of the practical things. I'm going to give you the Bible principles first. The attire tells what kind of a woman we, not woman, what kind of a person we are. Because the Bible says the attire of a harlot. That from far you will know. You know, there was one time I was driving past, I was sending someone home, and then after I was driving past Geylang to go home, right, I happened to just stop at the traffic light. Okay, not a good place to drive past in the night, okay? I'm sending someone home, I gotta go past there. And you know what? As I was driving, I was looking across to this place, and after a while, these two ladies say, I quickly lock my door and wait for the traffic light to go. They were dressed in the attire of a harlot, and they were kind of soliciting business, if you know what I mean, right? They were dressed in the attire of a harlot. Your dressing sends a message. Next week, we'll talk about all the messages, okay? The attire tells what kind of a person we are. I know the way I dressed last time was very sloppy for Friday night. Those who remember those days, jeans and all that. I decided, no, I can't. I cannot continue anymore. I'm preaching God's word and I need to not be sloppy. Okay? Attire tells what kind of person you are. Number three, attire tells what kind of a person you are on the inside. The Bible says what? She has the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She has cunning in the heart. And God is the only one who can expose the heart. And God says, this lady dresses in this way, is this kind of person, and that's how the heart is. Okay? You know what it tells us? People dress there have been research done in the psychology of ladies who dress the way they do. They actually have a purpose. Okay? I think it was a Mary Quain. You know Mary Quain, the inventor of miniskirts? You know what was the intention of miniskirts and short hair? Next week, I'll show you a photograph of her short hair, literally short hair. Okay? It is to entice and seduce men. That was her reason spoken of when she was interviewed in 1967. Miniskirts is to, come on guys, you know, I'm available. The attire of a harlot. Basically, your clothing tells who you are. There was one author, his name is Elizabeth Hanford. She says, Adam and Eve's clothing betrayed their spiritual condition. No, Adam and Eve had fig leaves and they thought they were okay before God. God says, no. What this lady, this is the lady who says, the way Adam and Eve dressed, it betrayed their spiritual condition. That means the way you dress tells what kind of a person you are spiritually. If you truly love the Lord, you will follow what God says. But if there are other things in the heart, it will bring out in your dressing. That's what Elizabeth, who is a Christian, he wrote Kids from Proverbsville, I think she, really? Elizabeth? Yes. Yeah, Kids from, yeah, which we used a book for our chapel last time, you know, Kids from Proverbsville. So there's just different proverbs we used to teach the children. This was the lady who said, your dressing reveals your spiritual condition. Okay? Any questions? So the principle is, the way we dress sends a message. And the question is, what message should we as the children of God send to the world? Okay, I was talking to Brother Jacob, I believe, and he says in NUS, in NTU, I think it's a lot of fashion show going on. Is that true? Fashion show, people just dress. It's like a fashion show there. You know, as Christians, we all know to be caught up in that. Of course, we'll talk about that later. All right. Okay, let's move on. The next one is Isaiah chapter 47. Okay, Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. I want to actually, as you're going through there, I want to actually qualify. I had a hard time, okay? I had a hard time with all these passages, not because I don't understand them. Thinking, Lord, how in the world do we apply this to contemporary 21st century? God, are we like old fuddy-duddies or conservative only? Or are we trying to follow your word, all right? So I just want to preface it. But in Isaiah 47, verse 1 to 3, let me just read that. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones, grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thighs, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. God was pronouncing judgment on the children of Babylon, okay? For what they are doing to Israel, or sorry, Judah. Okay, and God is pronouncing future judgment on Babylon, which happened. Alright? Now, what he said was, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. Okay? Because these people of Babylon are very used to, this daughter, be used to sitting on thrones, nice seats, and all that. Okay, he said, no more, judgment's gonna come, you guys are not gonna sit on proper chairs, you gotta sit on the floor. Alright, that's one thing. And then later on he says, O daughter of the Chaldeans, thou shalt not be called tender and delicate. These ladies, when they were brought up, they were very nicely trained in the etiquette. You know, how to curtsy and all that. But when judgment comes, you can forget about your courtesies. You are going to be on the ground. You are going to, you're not going to be tender and delicate. You know, when the Japanese came in, it's exactly what happened. All right, to our ladies, what happened to our ladies? Even in the Philippines, when the Japanese came in China, just came and just ripped them apart, you know, just abused them and used them. And the ladies have been thrown all over the place, okay? And then, verse 2, take the millstones and grind meal. I'll do a little study on this. Millstone and grinding meal is a very low slave job for ladies. It's a slave job for ladies, all right? So when God actually prophesies this to the children of Babylon, the daughters will actually be exposed to slavery. Okay, and what happened? Uncover thy locks. Locks refers to the hair. Okay, and what happens when you are a slave? You will not have the opportunity to put your hair nicely and all that. Uncover them means let it go. Okay, let it down, which is an indication of slavery. All right, you have no time because why? You are in captivity. Make bare the legs, uncover the thighs, and pass over the rivers. This has to do with actually crossing the river. You know, sometimes when they push slaves from one position to place to another, they make them walk, and sometimes they have to cross rivers. All right? Those ladies during that time will wear all the way to their ankles. But you know what God says? You guys are going to ford the rivers, and you guys are going to make bare your legs. Now what, you're going to pull up your what? Skirts? Make bare your legs, uncover your thighs, and then the next verse says, your nakedness. In other words, the clothing was for a covering for you, but because of your sin, O daughters of Babylon, you are going to be exposed to shame. Okay? People are going to look at your nakedness. People are going to look at your, and God's not going to say, you're going to take out everything, you know, covering the eyes. Because that's what the Bible says here. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, verse 3. Yet thy shame shall be seen. And the Bible specifically mentions making bare the leg, uncovering the thigh as you go past the rivers. I don't know about you today, but many ladies today are not ashamed to bear their thighs. Not chicken thigh. I mean, I think you know thigh is the big part here. Okay? A lot of meat. But you know what? As far as God is concerned, it has to be covered. Alright? Here God says it's a shame. Alright? I'll just quickly give you some points. The impending doom of Babylon was coming. The principle here is because of the backslidden condition, or rather because of the state of Babylon, They were brought to a place of shame and nakedness, characterized by their thighs and their bare legs for the ladies. Okay, so bearing of thighs and the legs is nakedness and shame before God. Okay? And if you cross-reference that to Exodus 28, it's the same for men and ladies. Because God commanded the priest to have it all the way down. Alright? Any questions? Okay, let's turn to the next passage, alright? I'll just go through the passage. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Okay, going to our New Testament now. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, okay? I'll read verse 1, decide read verse 1. I'll read verse 8, then decide read verse 9. And the last, people on my right will read verse number 10. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, okay? Verse 8 says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Verse 9 on the left. Verse 10. Okay. I was reading this, and the article that I was reading and trying to understand is focused on verse 9 and 10. But you look at the passage. In verse 9, the Bible says, in like manner also. When the verse there, you have to look before that. What happened before? And Paul was referring to the men. Okay, so we need to look at the men first. Paul says, I will, therefore, that men everywhere pray, lifting up holy hands. Contrary to popular interpretation, this is not a passage for us to do this. The idea of lifting up holy hands means when we actually put our hands up to the Lord, it has to be holy. It is the principle of purity of heart and life that characterizes the individual who is praying. Does it make sense? Any questions there? Very important. This lifting of holy hands is not a proof verse for you to do this, but it's actually the idea of hands having to be holy when we are praying before the Lord. In other words, if I have sinned in my life, God's not going to hear me, full stop. Okay? I can do all I want and sacrifice all I want. God says, no, you have no holy hands, I'm not going to hear you. Alright? And so the men, when they pray, are supposed to have holy hands. How? Without wrath. In other words, there's no bitterness and anger in their hearts against someone else, and without doubting, in others, in faith. In others, they are worshiping God in sincerity and in truth. In verse 9, in like manner also, in the same way. When the ladies come before the Lord to worship and pray, Paul actually interestingly mentioned apparel, mentioned dressing. Okay? Now, he says in the same way that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Okay? After this, we'll go through specific shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or pearls or costly, but with good works. Why did Paul actually want to package the outward and the inward together? Because clothing is a matter of spiritual pride. And you know when Jezebel, remember Jezebel? Jezebel with a painted face and all that, oh, she was dressed up like a doll. Have you seen ladies who dress up like they came out from a toy shop or something, yeah? Really rosy cheeks and really like really painted up. You know what Paul says? Paul says, look, you guys, when you pray, ladies, specifically ladies, men, of course spiritually we need to be right. We mustn't have anger in our hearts. We must have faith and we must have holy hands. But ladies, in the same way, see, the emphasis is on the heart. But Paul says, what you have in the heart comes out in your externals. And so let's take a look at some of the externals that Paul is talking about. Number one, he says, the woman adorn themselves. The word adorn means decorate themselves, literally. The word adorn means to decorate. All right, what do they decorate themselves with? Number one, modest apparel. Okay, modest apparel. The word modest has to do with the meaning of having a good behavior. In other words, their lifestyle is a lifestyle of good behavior. Okay? And I'll just read what I have here. It means decent and orderly, and it actually describes an inner self-control. In other words, when a person worships the Lord, a lady, there is this sense of, God, I need to control myself before you in all areas of my life. And so, God, as I worship you, I have that sense in me. Okay? So, modest, but the self-control, interestingly, is exhibited in the next word, which is apparel. And the word apparel there, if you would do a study, is katastole. Many years ago, I taught that. But now I begin to realize the significance of that. The word apparel literally means the royalty robes worn by kings. You know, when kings, when they wear, even kings, even today, when they wear the robes, okay, it's long, it's all the way to the floor. Royalty robes, okay? It's interesting because Paul uses the word apparel, long, loose robes generally reaching to the ankles as though worn by royalties. This control of the outward dressing reflects the inner control that Paul is wanting the ladies to learn during that time. Any questions? Modest apparel. And then the next one is a lady having what we call shamefacedness. What's the meaning of shamefacedness? What's the meaning of shamefacedness? The word shamefacedness is translated from the Greek word. It has the idea of downcast shame. You know, shame, downcast. You know, hey, paiseh. No, paiseh. In the past, you know, when ladies laugh and say, that's the idea of shame. Sorry. That's being shamefaced. You know, because you don't want to offend. You don't want to offend, right? If, let's say, someone is talking, even the guys do that. Because it's a mark of respect, but for the ladies, it's actually a shamefaced. You don't want to offend. Alright? Okay? It means, specifically, apparently, the word shamefacedness has to do with a downcast eyes and bashfulness towards men. Okay? Towards men, literally. Which means that when a lady is with a man, he will be keeping the distance, being careful what he says, and making sure there's a submissive spirit, and all about that. That's what shamefacedness means. Okay? And it's a, this is interesting. It implies a shrinking from trespassing boundaries of propriety. In other words, a lady who is shamefaced will say, this is what God wants me to do. That's the line that God has drawn. I'm going to stay away as far away from there as possible so that I won't offend. That's a shamefaced attitude. Okay? And what's the meaning of propriety? The word propriety means shrinking away. Please, if you don't understand the English, please stop me and say, Brother Johnny, I don't understand. Don't use so big English. I'm just reading from some of the quotes, okay? It means that the lady who's shamefaced will move away from actually breaking what they know is the established rules. Okay? Propriety has to do with principles that is consonant with established principles, rules, or customs. For example, if I come to maybe Brother Desmond's house, okay? Hey, Brother Desmond, nice house, man. I go into all the rooms. Wow, your curtain, not nice at the car. I don't just go into his room, you know, and take his coffee and drink and put my leg out on his sofa and all that. The sofa, not really, right? Sorry. I don't do that because then I would be shamefaced, you know. I would be bold and proud and just do what I want, you know, in someone's house. That's wrong. You know, when you go into someone's house, you will stay in the hall, you know, and you will let the host lead you. That's why it means not crossing the boundary. You know, can I say this, ladies, and even men? You know, guys who, hey, on the ladies, you know, that is crossing boundaries already. Because the lady doesn't belong to you, unless you're a wife. Okay? But today, it's so old. You see people in photographs, in just new friends or whatever. They just do that. You know? Just crossing the lines of proper propriety. Okay? So from a biblical perspective, Paul is saying, look, ladies, God wants you to be pure for Him. Protect yourself. Have that attitude of shamefacedness, especially with your dressing, okay? Because he goes on the next one, and sobriety. What does sobriety mean? The word sobriety means sound mind, self-control. A well-balanced state of mind arising from habitual self-restraint. In other words, this lady constantly knows what he needs to do, what he has to, cannot do, and constantly refrains himself. That is sobriety, being sober, okay? Sobriety is the opposite of foolish, silly, flippant, careless, shallow, worldly, and meaningless type of living. Alright? So, any questions? So, we see from this passage that a Christian woman's modesty spiritually comes from the inside. And this is very important. It's not just for ladies, it's for men as well. The way we dress, our spiritual life comes from the inside. If you actually look at what Proverbs chapter 7 says, our dressing shows who we are. Paul actually says, look, that is what it shows who you are. You need to dress the way God wants you to dress, with a spirit of meekness. Okay? It's a matter of the heart, which reminds us that, no, by God's grace, at the end of these few sessions, we will actually set forth, by God's grace, collectively, we recognize this as God's biblical standards for dress, and we're just going to adopt that. Okay? And when we adopt that, we are saying this, Lord, we are in submission to you. I can't force you to do that. We can't force each other to do that. All right? And some people may struggle a lot more, but if this is what God says, we need to actually follow. Okay? Any questions? All right? Okay, moving along. The next one is not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Well, Brother Johnny, it means I cannot wear any. Happy idea cannot. No, the principle there is not to be extravagant, like ostentatious. You know, the people's earring, they don't even big circle here. Kind of thing. You can do your gymnastic around. And there are some like ladies there. It's like, and then no wonder their earlobes is also deep now. You know, and you know, and then there's this. I think it's men with this big cross. I think Tom Jones. Some of you may know this singer. There's a big cross here. It's like you think he's a Christian, but you know what? I don't think he is, the way he dressed. And not being ostentatious. What does that mean? It means that we don't dress to shock people. How many of you have had this experience before whereby everything was normal week after week, suddenly someone comes in with, hey, what happened to you? kind of thing, you know. Change hairstyle, different glasses, whatever, you know, colorful thing. You know what, as a Christian, and specifically here, as a godly lady, your goal is not to attract people to your physical. Or rather, your goal is not to attract people by your physical. Your goal is to attract people by your spiritual. And I was listening to a message one time on this dressing. This preacher was saying, ladies in church, if the guys in church is not attracted to you because of your dressing, you don't want them anyway. No, sorry. If the guys in church is not attracted to you by your character, spiritual character, and by your proper dressing, you don't want them anyway. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? Ladies, teenage ladies especially, this is very important for you. If a spiritual man, or if a man in church is not interested in you, because of your spiritual character and your godly dressing, you don't want him anyway. And that's what many girls outside are doing. They are dressing so they can attract with the physical. Agree? You don't want that. That's why many Christian girls get into trouble. No, it's better to practice patience with God, and God will provide. The help me and the help me. Sorry, the stop. The other way around. Okay, you need to be very careful. Okay, your dress mustn't be extravagant. It must point to Christ as your Savior and Lord, not to you as the peacock. All right? I think you know. Okay, I think you know what I mean there. All right. Okay, so I just read this. Okay, this verse in terms of not be bridled with hair is not just braiding off hair, but it's actually those people who, what we in this context, the commentator will say, the ornaments are usually worn by worldly females, whereby they really embroider themselves, they really put a lot of things so that people can, wow, they are the shining star. All right, that's not what God wants, okay? But you know what? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says the lady ought to be known by her what? Look at verse 10. What should a lady, teenage ladies, girls, primary 5 also, listen, 7 years old, you know what ladies ought, you know what you ought to be known for? Look at verse 10. Good works. You're always, always, always a helper to someone else, whether in this or that or whatever. The Bible says what? But which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. In other words, your life ought to be a life of serving someone else, doing something for someone. You know, God. That's why God made ladies a helper meet, because of their helping personality that God has put in them. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm. That will be under biblical etiquette. Because the Bible has another verse talking about defraud not one another. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4. You know what defraud one another means? In other words, if you're a lady, you don't purposely... what's the what they use, the worldly word? No, I don't want the children to learn. They actually act in a way to suggest that they're interested. That's defrauding. That means that if a girl and a guy, girl or a guy acts in a way, or especially the, it's interesting in the context, it's actually the girl, to actually act in a way, or the guy, to suggest some interest, when actually there's no interest, and the person is actually then emotionally attached, but the person had no intentions, that's sin. That's emotional defrauding that God forbids specifically in 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll teach on, we can touch on that another time. All right? There are certain behaviors that, I mean, I treat a sister, I treat her as a sister, nothing else. A brother, treat as a brother, nothing else. And I say that even before you're married, your brother and sister are individuals. You don't belong to one another. Okay? And therefore, there's a certain sense of propriety that before God we need to have. Does that make sense? Okay? I agree. I understand what you're saying. We're talking about dressing, but we would definitely. Oh yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. Yes, I think some. I agree with you when we can have the longest dress, but we can be as sinful as anyone else. Okay, and some of the I think some of the pop singers who cannot go into certain countries unless they're covered up. Just the same. There's no difference. That's why modesty is actually a heart issue. It's not just what you dress outside. You actually have your heart submitted to Christ first, and then you will have no problem. You will find that if your heart is not submitted to Christ, you will always have problems with modesty. You will say, why? This is how I sit. What? You don't like this? Put your eyes somewhere else. That's a heart of rebellion. Alright? Does that make sense? Yeah. I'll take that into account, and I'll try to infuse that in the next two, because next 2 weeks we're talking about the unisex movement, and also we're talking about worldliness in the Christian, and how does all these things tie in. And then finally, the 5th week, we're tying it as specific, based on what we've learned collectively. These are what God says, and we will follow that. Okay, principles gleaned from these passages. Okay, biblical dictate. We need to finish. Biblical modesty dictates that clothing must cover the whole body and it's not revealing. Okay? What does it involve? No short skirts. No shorts. Slit skirts. Low blouses. Short blouses that bear the midriff. I think you know what I mean, you know? Deep V-neck dresses. Backless dresses. in any modern swimsuit, halter tops, you know, anything, okay? Those that wear like this, as long as it show off any of your part of your flesh that anyone else that's not supposed to see, you're not supposed to wear it. See through, okay? Short skirts and all that. The ladies, you realize when you wear short skirts and you cross your legs. I mean, it's a bit embarrassing for me to mention that, but you know, it actually shows off your thighs, and God says it's nakedness. Okay? And so, you must cover. And that includes the men. That includes the men. Alright? The man also has to cover. And we need to be very careful with that principle there. Any questions? I know it seems like I'm only targeted ladies, but I know these are Bible principles. Okay? I say again, short skirts. Okay, remember, mini skirts was for one reason and one reason alone. You know what's the purpose of mini skirts? It's to entice the opposite gender. That was the goal of the lady fashion designer Mary Quinn in the 1960s when he designed that. Okay? And people were just going along and when you understand what is their... I know there will be practical implications of many things, but we'll just have this as principles first, then we'll move from there. Okay? Doesn't mean we change the principle or we change... Lord, then how best can we still obey you but don't break your principles? Okay? Number two, we must take this issue of modesty seriously because God does. Okay, we mentioned that already. We must be modest in our dressing before the Lord as His people. Right now, as you come to church, and by the way, don't just come to church and dress well. Dress well outside, otherwise you become a hypocrite. Don't follow because pastor says so. Follow because you know God said so and you're convicted by Him. We want a people that is thinking and say, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. Okay? There must be a clear distinction between the male and female dressing. Clear distinction. Okay? And I think we know, we're very clear on that. Our dressing sends a message. Okay? We need to ask ourselves, what message are we sending with our dressing? Alright, next week we'll talk about that. Okay? It's very interesting. The thighs of male and females must be covered as far as God's principle is concerned. Okay? Our dresses must reflect godliness, and based on 1 Timothy 2, they must be long, covered down to the knee. Right, I was reading one testimony by one man. He was actually part of a survey of how does ladies' dressing affect him. And it says, tell the ladies, when they dress, have three L's, long, loose, and lots of it. Talking about dressing, have your dressing that is long, have your dressing that is loose, and have lots of it. You know what I mean? In other words, they say, please cover up. Alright? The world... we do have enough cloth in this world, I believe. Use it. Okay? So dresses must reflect godliness. Alright? Your dressing, not just ladies but men, must reflect godliness. Okay? It must be adequately covered. Okay? We do not dress to stand out, but we must be shamefaced when we dress. In other words, we will always think, it's not what I feel comfortable with. Is if I come to church, will a sister or a brother be offended by what I dress? Will he be distracted during worship because of the way I dress? Okay? We are not to be extravagant in our dressing, makeup and hairdo. That's what the Bible says. Not to be extravagant. You know, talk about the hair. God deals with that too. Okay? And our lives need to be dressed up with a pattern of good works. Now, as Christians, we need to have a pattern of good works in our dressing. All right? Any questions? Any questions? We're finished now. Any questions? Please think through. I did put in. I think put in for you. Please reflect on this. Any questions you have? The reason why I believe you guys will have a lot of questions because it affects you every day. You make choices of your clothing every day. So, Brother Johnny. That means I need to go get a job. You say, why? I need to throw all my clothing. Can I say this? If you're seriously, if you believe that God will help you do that, we can help. Okay, help as in anything that you need to do what is right. I can tell you the clothing in Singapore is very hard to buy good clothing anymore. In personal reflection, reflect on the passage and principles taught. Ask any question you may have on these principles and seek to have a sanctified heart for the Lord Jesus. Okay, guys, we need to also watch how we dress because the Bible principles are there for us as well. For ladies, you know why there's an emphasis on ladies? I realize why the source. Because ladies don't have a problem with guys dressing immodestly, but guys have a problem with ladies dressing immodestly. Okay? And that's why when Jesus says, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed, it's not the other way around. Okay, it's not the other way around. And that's why all the advertising is always based on. Sometimes you wonder, what has a lady got to do with engine oil? You know why? It's the attraction. It caters to the lusts of the flesh. And I believe with all my heart, why we need to touch on this is because it throws up the heart of every lady who wants to be sanctified for the Lord and every guy. I say, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll follow it. And you know what? It's a very clear indicator of where your heart is in terms of dressing. I want to say this as a church. Our job is not to judge one another, but to assist one another in developing these convictions. Okay? It will mean that you will have to be different. But you know what? The Lord was different and he was killed for it. And if you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, these are his principles. Unless I'm wrong, please let me know. But based on the study, based on... That's why be a Berean today, Acts 17. Check up the scriptures yourself. If this is what the Lord Jesus teach, let's follow him. If not, tell me, then I'll change my position. Okay? So, Pastor, my goal is for us to be set apart for the Lord. You know why? Because God's blessing is on you when you're set apart for him. But if you choose not to, then you will have to bear it as well. Alright? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And I've gone through all. And I pray, Father, that you'll be taken as a time that we learn from you. And that, Father, your word will help us to draw closer and closer to you. Not only in our spiritual lives, but, Father, in the way we dress, in the way we present ourselves, the way we talk, in the way we present ourselves as soldiers of the King. Lord, help us to be humble before you. That thy word, Lord, will truly be a lamp to our feet, light to our paths. And God, that thy word will truly be, Lord, the standard by which we live by. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.